In your Bibles tonight, the book of 1 Samuel, we're working through, as the Lord leads on Sunday night, the characters of the Bible. And tonight, we're going to look at three characters in one message, and I want to share some things with you from 1 Samuel chapter number 14. Before we get to our reading in chapter number 14, verse 1, a little context. Saul has been chosen to be the next king of Israel. The nation of Israel has really chosen a man over God, which is always wrong. And they've chosen Saul, and God has allowed this to happen. And Saul's leading. Now, the Philistines are the enemies of the nation of Israel. In just a little while, in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we'll meet, get a fresh glimpse at David fighting Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. The Philistines have really gathered themselves and set themselves in great array against the nation of Israel. And at this moment, Saul's leadership is failing miserably because there are, look what the Bible says in chapter 13, verse 5. The Philistines gather themselves together to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. That's what's going on. The Philistines have gathered and they have set themselves in great number against the Israelites. And here's the response of the courageous people of God. Verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks, and in high places, and in pits. What did the brave people of God do? They hid like cowards. And so we get this picture that the Philistines are in great number. The Israelites are scared to death. And King Saul and his failing leadership, the nation of Israel, has gathered together a measly 600 men. And we begin our reading in chapter number 14, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side, but he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sinna. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. I skipped a page. Hang on. Have you ever done that before? Verse number 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will go not up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, and half an acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field and among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one to another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priests, that the noise that was in the host, the Philistines, went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. Now, we come to this passage of Scripture, and as we read this, there's some details that can probably become jumbled as we read them. But this is a fascinating story, and God does a mighty work. And there's something I want to draw your attention to. It's the spirit of three different characters. The first character I want you to see is Jonathan. Jonathan says, go. The second character I want you to pay attention to is Saul, King Saul. Saul says, tarry. Tarry here. The third character I want you to see tonight is the armor bearer. And the armor bearer just simply says, I'm here. I'm here. And I love this passage of Scripture, and we see God bring a great victory. The odds are stacked greatly against the nation of Israel. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of men of war in the Philistine army are stacked up against Saul and his 600. And to make matters worse, if they could be worse, the nation of Israel, they have two swords among 600. It's fascinating, but the Philistines had plundered the nation of Israel and disposed of all the workers of iron. All the blacksmiths were gone. And so the nation of Israel, all they had left were a few gardening tools, and they did not even have the means by which to sharpen them. And so the battle is stacked in the Philistine favor. But we meet up with a man named Jonathan. The beginning of this passage of Scripture, we see odds stacked against God's people. We see the armies of Israel hiding in caves, tails tucked and tucked away, scared. We see Saul tearing under a pomegranate tree in leisure. But when the end of this passage comes all to pass, we meet up with the Israelites coming out of their hiding places and fighting and shouting for the battle. We meet up with victory for God's people. We see God doing a mighty work. And it all hinges on some personalities and some decisions that folks make, specifically the leadership of Jonathan. Look at the Bible says in verse number 1, Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over. Again in verse number 6, the Bible says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over under the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Tonight's message is simply titled, Let Us Go Over. Let Us Go Over. Now, I know and I'm very aware that it appears in so many ways that the deck is stacked, per se, against Bible-believing Christian people in our country and in this world. I'm aware of that. I look at it and I think about the mindset of the masses. And there are moments, seasons, where I get a knot in my gut. And I think, oh dear, what are we going to do? And quite frankly, there are moments where my reaction and my spirit has this kind of retreating nature. I'm just going to mark my time and try not to stir the pot. But that should not be the spirit of God's people. And that should not be the spirit of fathers and mothers and grandparents and even young people, teenagers and children. We should have the spirit of a Jonathan that says, look, I know that there are thousands to a few. I know their weapons are mighty. We're talking, these folks had thousands of chariots and war horses and swords and everything that they needed. And on our side, there were 600 people with hoes and shovels, and two men with swords, one of which was in the hand of Saul, who was a lazy, sorry, good-for-nothing man of the flesh. Yet, God put a spirit in this young man, Jonathan, that said, let us go over. Let us go over. And I'm praying that God will put a spirit in your pastor that says, let us go over. Let us, with the love of Christ, the Word of God, and the power of God, let us stand up for truth, not ignorantly or foolishly, but boldly and faithfully. Let's raise our children, folks. Let's raise our children, not like the world, but the way God would have us. Let's do things that please the Lord. Let's wage war against the devil, but not in the power of the flesh, the power of God. May we learn something tonight from these characters. I just want to say to you, let us go over. Let us go over. Come up. Let's go over. Let's see what God can do. Let's engage. Let's not retreat. Let's engage. And let's see what God can do. The first thing I want to bring to your attention tonight is the man Jonathan. We'll start right on the top, and he shows up first. But let's start with the man Jonathan. Jonathan, number one, says go. I like the spirit of Jonathan. This is the second time that Jonathan, he couldn't stand it any longer, that he would step out of ranks and he would do what was right as opposed to what was expected and acceptable. And at this moment, Jonathan, here's what he does. The Bible says it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side, but he told not his father. Well, what did he say? He said, look, I am not going to lay around here for one more moment and let these ungodly Philistines defy my almighty powerful God. He says, you're the only guy I can trust. He was his armor bearer. He was Jonathan's second man. He said, hey, come on, let's go over. Here's what else he says. The Bible says in verse number 6, Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Jonathan says, go. His crowd, he said, it was irrelevant. The number was irrelevant. His confidence was not in the strength of men, but in the power of God. You know where we mess up? Man, we mess up so often. By thinking what we can do, what I can do, what do we have in the coffer, what do we have as our weapons, what kind of voice do we have, how many votes can we get? Now look, I'm not foolish. I'm not ignorant. I'm not going to be silly, but I'll just have you know something. My confidence is not in men. My confidence is in the power of God. And Jonathan said, I'm just not going to sit back here idle when I'm serving God, creator of the universe, who has all power and all ability. He says, I'm not just going to sit back here and let the enemy in the world destroy my nation, destroy the character of my God, destroy the future of my children. I'm not going to let the world mess up what God wants to bless because I'm too scared or too sorry to do something about it. He says, come on, let's go over. Hey, he said, hey, it may just be that God will do something great. He says, we'll never know if God's going to do something great if we don't attempt something for Him. We should be attempting things for God. Our church should be attempting things for God. You as an individual ought to be attempting things for God. It may need to start by witnessing to somebody that you think is impossible to witness to. It may need to start by confronting an issue that has got you scared, but you know it's not right. Stand up for truth. Stand up for righteousness. It may be that the Lord will work for you. You see, his confidence was in the hand of the Lord. I love this verse of Scripture. It says, the hand of the Lord is not shortened. It's not shortened. We serve a God with an all-reaching hand that can do anything he wants to. And he likes to help people who want to trust him and serve him. Let us go over. His confidence was in the hand of the Lord. His conquering was in the Lord. It's a beautiful story how this all works out. Jonathan says to his armor bearer, he says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or a few. God doesn't need thousands of military operatives in order to give victory. As a matter of fact, over and over again in the Bible, God gives victory to the minority over the majority so that he can prove how mighty he is. The moment you get down in the dumps because there is such a vast majority of people standing against Bible truth, be reminded that's when God has proven himself through history to work the best and the mightiest. Do not be downtrodden. Don't ever say to me, I hate the thought of having to raise children in this day and age. I don't. With God's help, I want to raise warriors for the call, for the cross. I want to raise men that will serve God. I want to see God blossom out of our church, young ladies who will say, I'm going to stand up for truth. I'm going to be righteous, and I'm going to be kind and loving and bold. I don't dread raising children in 2020. I'm thankful for the privilege. And I know that God's promises are far greater and God's abilities are far more potent than the majority of the enemy that stands against us. I'm not discouraged. And I want to have the spirit of Jonathan that says, hey, let's go over. It may be that God will do something. Quite frankly, I know and you know that God needs and must do something. God's called people like us with truth to move forward boldly and cry out like Jonathan, hey, let us go over. How'd he win? Did he win his own strength? No. He used his own strength. As a matter of fact, he had to go out of his way. He had to work for it. If you're going to have the spirit of a Jonathan, it's not going to be easy. God doesn't give us honey without bees and roses without thorns. It's not going to be easy. As a matter of fact, Jonathan, the way he got to this place of battle was in between these rocky places. One side of it was thorn covered. Another side of it was this rocky extrusion that had to be strategically climbed. And he and his armor bearer went through the difficult passage to get to where they had this battle. And they had to face the enemy. The Philistines came to them. There were 20 of them that came to these two men. But all the while, they trusted in the Lord. And God blessed. What happened? The story goes like this. Jonathan and his... I can't exactly see how this is, but somehow Jonathan and the armor bearer, after they made contact with the Philistines, they had to climb up to them. I don't know if they'd come to the bottom of this rocky crag and the Philistines were up on top like an outlook or something, but at any rate, the Philistines see Jonathan's armor bearer and he's looking up at them, and Jonathan hollers at the enemy. And the enemy says, "Come on up here." They'd already determined that if that's what the Philistines say, then we're just going to go up there and we're going to whoop them. I think that's what the King James says. Whoop them. And sure enough, the Philistines saw them and they make fun of them. They're like, "Ha, these worms have come out of hiding like the big chickens they are, and they're surrendering themselves." And Jonathan, his armor bearer, the Bible says they climb up out of that spot wherever they are. They get on the same plane with those Philistines, and they proceed to give them what for. In the spot about the size of half an acre, probably a little bigger than this building, this room, in a spot about the size of a half acre, John and his armor bearer slew 20 Philistines. But then God does something that only God can do. You see, it's what God does. You see, there's only a limited amount that I can do. There's only so much that I can do. I've only got 24 hours a day, and I have to sleep. I've only got so much energy and strength. I only have so much wit and brain power. But I want you to know something. I serve an invincible, all-powerful God. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer, they got up, and they had climbed, and they had gritted their teeth, and they had boldly and bravely trusted the Lord and moved forward, and they conquered 20 Philistines. But you know what happened? When they did what God had called them to do, God moved on the scene, and the only person that had ever existed that can create an earthquake is God. And he caused a quaking. The Bible says they all began to quake, and then there was a great earthquake. And the Philistines, you know what they did? Thousands and thousands and thousands of the armies of the Philistines, as God had done in the book of Joshua, as God did in even modern wars, God turned the armies against themselves, and in their discomfiture, their disarray, their confusion, they began to just whack on each other. And the next thing you know, the enemy's whacking on the enemy. And they're whittling down their own numbers. And all the while, Jonathan and the armor bearer, Jonathan who said, "Hey, you know what? Let's go over. Let's see what God can do." Jonathan and his armor bearer, they'd done their work, and then they got to watch God do his work. You see, I'm thankful and glad to do my work, but what I'm waiting for and what I'm watching for and what I yearn for is for God to do his work. And you know what's exciting? Every time I try to do my work for God, I end up seeing God do his work for me. You see, I can't save people, but I found out something. If I'll just preach God's word the best I know how, God saves people. And I can't rescue families. I can't. But I found out if I'll do what I can and point people to the right person who can help, that God in his power can rescue families. And I can't pastor a church, but I found out if I'll just do my best and I'll give what I've got to the Lord, God will do the work, and God meets the need, and God fills in the blanks, and God, you won't believe this, God's faithful. And Jonathan said, "Hey, it might be that God will do something." And I'll just tell you something. if you'll step out on faith with the burden, and like Jonathan, you'll cry out, let's go over. You know what you're going to find out? God will do his part. God will make himself, will avail himself in his power, and God will do the work. We've got to step forward. Number one, Jonathan says, go. Number two, Saul says, tarry. Now, Saul was supposed to be the leader of this bunch. But Saul was a man of the flesh. As we watch the life of Saul, he begins head and shoulders above everybody else, a kind of a naive person that you see in his youth. And God picks him, and for whatever reason, that was God's choice, and Saul rises up. Saul was a choice. The people chose a king over God. And Saul, his life, it just spirals continually out of control. And Saul, a man of great jealousy, but Saul, a man of looking and appearance, poor ambition. The Bible says in verse 2, Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. Now what do we see? Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. Was Saul leading the charge? Was Saul saying, let's go, let's trust God? No. He tarried under a pomegranate tree. You know where he'd found? He'd found him a spot that had plenty to eat, plenty to drink, plenty of shade. He'd found him a spot where he could just hang out and buy his time until everything passed on, even if it was the entire nation. That should not be the spirit of God's people. But I'm afraid it is. Do you know what we do? We lull ourselves to sleep in our comfortable spots, and we're afraid to do anything that might mess up our leisure, that might mess up our setting, that might mess up our comfort. But I'll have you know something. For thousands of years now, Saul has suffered the judgment and reproach of God because he was unwilling to dig in and trust God and lead God's people the way he ought to. Saul said, let's just tarry here a while. Now, I want you to know something about Saul. Saul tarried under a pomegranate tree, and Saul took care of himself. But Saul didn't leave religion out of the picture. Oh, no, no. No, Saul gave his token appreciation to the power of God. Look who is with Saul. Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. And there were with him about 600 men, including, verse number 3, Ahiah. Y'all know Ahiah? I'm going to tell you who Ahiah is. He's an interesting guy. Ahiah, the son of Ahitub. Do you know Ahitub? Ahitub's one's hard to get into. Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli. I'm going to tell you who Ahiah is. You remember Eli the priest? Eli the priest was the priest who introduced Samuel to this world. Eli had failed miserably with his sons. One of his sons' names was Phinehas. Eli and Phinehas and his brother, they all died at the same time. Actually, the brothers died in a battlefield. They were priests, but they were just sons of Belial, the Bible says. They were terrible. When Eli died, remember the news came that his sons were dead, that the ark was gone, and Eli was an old, heavy man. He fell off the wall and broke his neck and died. When Eli died, Phinehas' widow, she'd just been a widow for a couple hours at best, Phinehas' widow gave birth to a little boy, and they named him Ichabod because it means the glory departed. And Ichabod's brother was Ahitub, a hard one to get into. And Ahitub had a boy named Ahiah. What's that mean? That means Ahijah was Eli the priest, the failure priest's grandson. So, and Eli and Ahijah was Phinehas, the failed priest's son. And Ahijah was in that line of folks that God had said, look, you will no longer have anything to do with the priesthood. But what is Ahijah wearing? The Bible says Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. What was he wearing? He's wearing an ephod. God had said, you are disqualified from doing anything that represents me as a priest. He should have never put the ephod back on. But you know where he was? He was sitting under a pomegranate tree with Saul wearing his ephod. You know what Saul had done? Saul had hired himself a disqualified representative of God to tell him what he wanted to hear. It's awful, isn't it? Folks, I'll have you know something. If you want to find a disqualified man of God-ish to tell you what you want to hear, you can find them. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. But I'll have you know what's going to happen. The same thing that happened to Saul. If you park yourself under a pomegranate tree and you close a blind eye as a child of God to the fact that we need to go forward and move forward and stand up for truth and see what God can do. If you hire you a preacher with an ephod as disqualified that will not tell the truth, tell you what you want to hear, your end will be like Saul's. You'll stand against God's anointed, King David. You'll stand against the man after God's own heart. You'll see your family and your nation and your opportunity destroyed, and you'll see victory for the enemy. Do you know what Saul said? Let's just tarry here. I mean, I got a preacher. He's got an ephod. We're good. You know what he had? He had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What did Jonathan have? Jonathan had godliness, banking and trusting in the power thereof. Jonathan says, let's go. Saul says, let's tarry. Thirdly, the third character I want you to see, I'm encouraged by this man, is the armor bearer. You know what the armor bearer says? The armor bearer says, I'm here. Here I am. He was an encourager. Look what the scripture says about this armor bearer. First of all, the Bible says that in verse number 1, that Jonathan said unto the young man that bears armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison. You see, this was not the man yet that God had raised up to lead the charge. Jonathan was that man at this moment. It was Jonathan's place to lead. But you know what the armor bearer said? If Jonathan says, let's go, he says, I'm going. That's it. I'm going. When he said, let's go, the armor bearer said, here I come. The Bible says in verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man that bears armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison. It may be that God will do something. Verse number 7, the Bible says, and his armor bearer said unto him, Jonathan, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. What did the armor bearer do? He said, it's not my place yet to lead the charge. He said, I don't have the credentials or I don't have the ability right now, but I don't think that's what God's given me to do. I can't be the voice of a movement. He says, I'm no Jonathan. He said, but I'll tell you what I am. I'll hold his sword. I'll stand by his side. And you know what that armor bearer said? He said, I'm here. you do what God's put in your heart, and I'm going to support you. I'm here. You take off fighting the enemy and trusting God, and I'm with you. All through the Bible, we see faithful armor bearers holding up Moses' arms, holding up Jonathan's weapons. Just there, faithful, saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm not going to miss. I'm here. You can count on me. I'm here. And with every swing and every victory that God gave Jonathan that day, the armor bearer was right there with him, had his back. There's some interesting things I see from this armor bearer. The Bible says in verse 12, the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer. God always includes the armor bearer. By the way, Jonathan couldn't do it alone. God didn't intend Jonathan to do it alone. Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will go. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, see, Jonathan's got him. He needs him. You know, the leader needs help. Jonathan said unto his armor, come up after me. The Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. I mean, God over and over and over again mentions the fact that the armor bearer was right there. He says, I'm here. I'm here. What are we doing, Jonathan? I'm here. The Bible says, Jonathan climbed upon his hand, verse 13, upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. What was the armor bearer doing? Jonathan's leading the way, and the armor bearer was going at it too. I like the spirit of the armor bearer, don't you? If God will let me be a Jonathan, I'll be a Jonathan. But I'll just tell you something, I'll be satisfied to be an armor bearer too. I just want to have the spirit that says, hey, I'm going to trust God. I want to have the spirit that says, I want to see God do something amazing. And if God's got 20 for me to conquer, then we'll conquer those 20 and we'll trust God to take care of the multitude. You know what we got to do? We just got to get up and be like Jonathan and say, hey, let us go over. Let us go over. Let's move forward. Let's not take our ease under the pomegranate tree and lose our families and miss our opportunity. Let's just have the spirit of Jonathan. It says, let's go over. Amen. If God's not called you to Jonathan, God has called you to be an armor bearer and just say, hey, I'm here. I'm going to make this personal. I didn't come to be the pastor of Chilhowee Baptist Church to find myself a really nice, soft, cushy spot. I don't like that. I don't want it. That's not me. That's not what I'm living for. I came to be the pastor of Chilhowee Baptist Church because I want to see God bring revival to our area. I want to see people get saved. I want to see the devil stop losing some of the battles. I want to see the devil start losing some of these battles with addiction and corruption and wickedness. I want to see God shake this place for his glory and his honor. I didn't come here to find a soft, cushy spot because it was a better job. That's not the case. I came here because I want to see what God can do. And my burden, my soul's yearning is, hey, let's go. Let's go. We got something to do. And guess what's happening? As we exalt the Lord and do our part, he's doing miraculous things. And we rejoice in his faithfulness. And my charge to you is, let's go over. Let's go over. Let's not just take our ease. Let's go over. Let's see what God can do. It'll be amazing. It'll be amazing. It'll be sweet. And you know the kind of what I want to see God do? Something that we have to just take a step back and say, well, it wasn't us. God did it. God did it. But God will do it when we've taken the step of faith and God will shake the thing. That's what I want. let's go over. I hope you'll say, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here too. Let's see what God can do. Let's go over.